This is Science Friday from NPR News. I'm Ira Flatow. I want you to picture this. I have a picture for your head. A group of men wearing bowler hats. They are gathered around a corpse, posing for a camera. And in the background, there's a shadowy figure that is contemplating the human skull he is holding in his hand. This is not a Halloween movie. No, this is just an average day for med students, circa 1880, and actually in many places today, because that dissecting table is still a med school rite of passage. And back in the Victorian age, it was often documented in photographs. And that scene and many others like it, showing med students from 1880 through the 1930s gathered around their flesh-torn cadavers for a photo, they're all pulled together in a new book that's hard to take your eyes off of. And joining me now to talk more about it is one of the co-authors, James Edmondson, his chief curator at the Dittrich Medical History Center and Museum College of Arts and Sciences. That's at Case Western Reserve University's Allen Memorial Medical Library. He's co-author of a new book called Dissection, Photographs of a Rite of Passage in American Medicine, 1880 to 1930. He joins us by phone from Cleveland. Welcome to the program, Dr. Edmondson.
Hi there.
These are amazing photographs.
I concur completely. to tell the truth, we've always had a few of these photos floating around our place and most other medical museums and archives. But about 10 years ago, I got a call from a collector in Youngstown who said he collected these things. And I was intrigued and invited him to bring his collection here. It's about an hour's drive, not too far. And he brought them in, and he laid out on the table about 75 of these photos. And I thought, oh, boy, something's going on here. You see one or two in isolation, you might assume it was a student gag or prank. But you see 75 or 100 of them, and you realize this constitutes a separate form, a genre, if you will, of medical portraiture that was really very much more widespread than I'd ever suspected.
Yeah, because they are all posed almost identically around this wooden or some sort of dissecting table with the cadaver laid open in various positions, right? And they're all proud, and they're actually little slogans on the tables.
Often their names, their states that they hail from, and so forth. It's possible to look back in medical iconography and find the precedents for these images. You can go back to the first medical book with a woodcut print in it. It has an anatomy lesson in it. That's the Fasciculum Medicina by Kesthem in 1491. And, of course, Vesalius is magnificent on the fabric of the human body, which first appeared in 1543, has a photo of an anatomy scene, and he's figured front and center dissecting a cadaver. So the iconographic precedents are there, but the proliferation with photography is what really amazed us.
Mm-hmm. It's quite interesting. Talking with James Edmondson, 1-800-989-8255 is our number. If you'd like to join us, also we're twittering. You can tweet us at SciFri, at S-C-I-S-F-R-I, S-C-I-F-R-I. Dr. Edmondson is author of Dissection, Photographs of a Rite of Passage in American Medicine, 1880 to 1930. You know, this does coincide with the first consumer Kodak cameras, does it not?
Absolutely. There was a time when Kodak marketed its cameras fully loaded with film. You'd buy the camera, shoot the film, send the camera and film back to the company. They'd process the film and return the camera to you reloaded with your prints. Mm-hmm. So it's very no fuss. You didn't have to be a studio-centered photographer.
Their slogan was, you press the button, we do the rest.
And they even, I think in 1898, marketed a camera that produced negatives that were in the same format as postcards, so you could generate your own postcards to stick in the mail.
And you show that in the book, that there are all these postcards of people with sending of cadavers.
And they have frankings and stamps and marks and inscriptions on them to show that they indeed did go through the mail. Hmm. And they weren't censored by any postmaster.
Is there still this kind of culture around today?
Well, there's a couple of profound watersheds or changes in medical education. And the one that affects this genre of photography is the Willed Body Programs. Before 1950, there was no way to get a body easily, and in many states, there weren't laws to regularize the supply of bodies until the 20th century. But that got ironed out ultimately. But still, there was a shortage of bodies for cadavers in classes, and so they implemented a Willed Body Program under which middle class, predominantly middle class people, were asked to donate their bodies to to science to be used by medical students in an anatomy class. And when you do that, you've got to give people the assurances that that body's going to be dealt with dignity and respect and honor. And so the word went out in Cleveland. This happened in about 1950 and happened elsewhere across the country contemporaneously. Word came out, no more funny stuff, no more photography. And in fact, if you go to anatomy labs today, you'll often see signs that say no cell phones. And I don't think it's because they care about people chatting. I think it's because there's cameras built into those phones.
Ah, so it's totally different today.
Yeah, there's a complete prescription on photography because they can't predict what the outcome will be, the use of that photo.
Mm-hmm. And looking at these old photos, what do they tell you about med school itself in those days?
Well, they say that this is an absolute central rite of passage for these people. These young people entered medical school as laymen, and they exited as physicians. And this was a bonding experience. There was also danger inherent in it. At one point, it was commonplace for professors and students to go out and steal bodies or get them from a class of people known as resurrectionists, people who went to the local potter's field and unearthed the body and brought it back to the school. Probably the most infamous case of that was Burke and Hare in Edinburgh in the 1820s. They were essentially serial murderers who knocked off poor people and brought them to Robert Knox, the professor of anatomy at the med school in Edinburgh. I think one of the only reasons they were found out is that some of the students recognized prostitutes that they had seen earlier in the week.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
And they were ultimately, Hare turned state's evidence. Burke, he swung on a rope. And today, parts of his anatomy, after having been dissected, are in the Royal College of Surgeons Museum in Edinburgh.
And so we never knew the names of these people.
No. These people who were dissected were indigents, for the most part, people for whom no one came forward to claim their body when they died in a city hospital, and then they were turned over to medical schools.
Wow. Let me get a phone call or two in here. Kevin in San Jose. Hi, Kevin.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for the show. I just wanted to relate that my grandfather was the hospital photographer for the Montreal General Hospital during the 1920s and 30s, and I recognize your description of these photos very well, including other ones I won't describe on air.
Wow. Okay, we'll leave it at that.
Well, that relationship was certainly something that happened around the country. You know, a lot of these photos are very artfully staged. Clearly, there was a professional hand in there.
Right.
And we know there were staff photographers at Bellevue Hospital, for example, in New York City and in Philadelphia. So that doesn't surprise me.
1-800-989-8255 is our number. In fact, if you want to see some of these photos from the book, they're on our website at sciencefriday.com. So you can get just a taste of what the book, Dissection Photographs of a Rite of Passage in American Medicine, 1880 to 1930, is about with James Edmondson. Have people been sending you more photos now? Are they still out there? Are you getting flooded with them now?
Not flooded, but the thing we're getting is we're getting photos with stories.
Oh, great.
We just heard. The problem with about half or more of the photos that we acquired from this collector was that they were without provenance. Provenance meaning the history of ownership or story behind them. And therefore, they were kind of orphaned. And one could infer with some research the date and locale of photos. But often that was a challenge. But most of the photos we're getting from people are come with very intriguing stories and very specific identification. I have a friend who has a very interesting blog called Morbid Anatomy, Joanna Abenstein, and she posted something about the book on there. And I got a photo from somebody who had been at Georgetown Medical School in 1971, and that was, first of all, very late in the scheme of things. And also I graduated from college in 73, so I was looking at this picture, and I was seeing my cohorts, and it was really kind of eerie.
Wow. So are you asking people then to send you photos? Are you trying
to
collect
them? Receive them. Certainly we've managed to compile the largest collection of this kind of photo here at the Dittrich at Case Western Reserve. We've got about 350, but you don't really make sense of these pictures until you see them in large groups, and then they fall into typologies and groupings that make sense. And so the more we see constitutes more grist for the historian's, you know, analytical process.
Did you have trouble finding a publisher who would want to just print pictures of dead people.
Yes. I initially made some overtures to some university presses, and they said, that's really intriguing, and we're sorry we can't help you. I've been told that in the publishing business, it's a real gentleman's business when they kiss you goodbye. and so very fortuitously, a dear friend of mine, Gretchen Worden, who was curator of the Motor Museum in Philadelphia, who died about 5 years ago, she had a working relationship with Blast Books, a small press in New York that's run by Laura Lindgren and Ken Swayze. Laura's a book designer by day, and she's probably designed hundreds of books, beautiful books. When I was there in the fall, she was doing a book for the Holocaust Museum to go with an exhibit called State of Deception about Nazi Propaganda Art. So she does really first-rate work. And I talked to her about taking this on. She had done two books previously for the Motor that were beautifully crafted and fairly priced, really art quality, or art book quality production. And she was very intrigued. So that was about 2 years ago that this process started. And she agreed to take it on as a project. And I was very fortunate as a collaborator to get John Warner, who's chair of history of medicine at Yale. John brings to this interpretation and analysis of the collection a rich understanding of the American medical past, and especially about the formation of professional identity in American medicine.
Well, it's a very well done book, very tastefully done. It's archival, and it's coffee table at the same time.
So says Mary Roach.
It's hard to come up with a good combination like that, but you've done a terrific production, James. Jim, thank you for taking time to be with us today. Good luck to you.
Very pleased to talk to you. Thanks.
James Edmondson is the chief curator at the Dittrich Medical History Center and Museum College of Arts and Sciences, where I'm sure they have all of these things on exhibit. But he's got a new book out called Dissection, Photographs of Rite of Passage in American Medicine, 1880 to 1930. Stay with us. Danica McKellar is here. We're going to talk about math, I guess, because that's what she likes to talk about. So we'll take your calls, 1-800-989-8255. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this break. I'm Ira Flatow. This is Science Friday from NPR News.